Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and we welcome you to another episode of the Clarion Call as we broadcast you tonight live just outside of Atlanta, Georgia. We thank the Lord for allowing us to come before you again with another episode and broadcast. We are very excited to be on the air. I will tell you, even though I'm physically a little fatigued today, due to a big weekend of sports coverage that we do on the Real Talk Sports Show, which you sometimes hear in this same radio portal on WRTS Radio and TV, I still am thanking the Lord because of all the great things he did during the weekend for us, all the doors that were open, and the absolutely spectacular weather that has descended upon the Atlanta metro area and even throughout the South, as temperatures have now climbed into the mid-70s. So we are very, very excited about that. Tonight we're going to talk about basically that same subject. The topic is when our religion becomes reality. And kind of what came to me as I went through this weekend and saw literally an unfurling of all the things, or not all the things, but many of the things that God has, you know, instructed for me to do, either directly or kind of guiding and leading me through the suggestions, and I shouldn't say suggestions, but the input from other people, I really began to understand that it, as you grow in Christ, it is imperative that, quote-unquote, our religion becomes real. Our relationship with Christ should be able to permeate all of our lives. There should be a change in how we see things. There should be an increased comfort level with following God's instructions. And really, that's what you see in the scripture text that we are using today, which is found in the first couple of books of Joshua. You really can go into even Joshua, the third chapter, but tonight we're going to highlight a few verses in the first chapter and also a few verses in the second chapter. We also, towards the tail end of our broadcast into the second half, we're going to do what we call a community spotlight. We're going to be zooming in on a group that is well known across the nation, but we're going to be focusing on a particular division or chapter of that group, which is Jack and Jill of America, the Jack and Jill of Lakes 5E, which is, you know, based not too far from me, headquartered here in South Metro Atlanta, Georgia. They have a fundraiser that's coming up next week that we're going to talk to you a little bit about, and hopefully one of their representatives will be able to call into the show in the second half of the broadcast when we do our community spotlight segment. Well, before we go into the message and the text, we will do some, first we will do some prayer and then a little housekeeping and instructions in case you want to hear the broadcast in another venue or also to follow us as time goes on. Let us pray. Almighty great Jehovah, mighty Yahweh, we thank you, O God, for allowing us this opportunity again to come in front of all the people that you have assigned to me during this broadcast, either live or via archive at a future time. We ask you, Lord, to let your word go forth with a clarity, with the power of your anointing, that the word may go forth and accomplish all that you have set forth to accomplish without returning unto your void, because that's what you said in your word will happen, that whatever you set forth will not return back unto your void until it's accomplished the purpose which you have set forth for it to accomplish. And we ask you, Lord, to let this word, this meditation, this brief teaching time, do all of that according to your will and according to your grace. Now, Father, we ask you, Lord, for strength as we fight through physical fatigue, O Lord God, that your anointing might allow me to decrease and you, O Lord Jesus, and your spirit to increase so that people might see you and not see me. We ask you for all these blessings in the matchless name of mighty Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We ask in all his name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Well, again, folks, we are very excited to be on the air tonight. We thank the person that called in. Looks like it might be someone from the West Coast. We thank you for joining us and calling in on the broadcast. And we thank those of you who, again, will listen to us so faithfully on the archive. So many of you who listen to this broadcast tune into it at later times and dates. And we thank you for not just the support of me, but, you know, hopefully getting a word that might bless and benefit you in your life. Well, anyway, let's now get to the text. The scripture reading would be in, again, the book of Joshua, starting with the first chapter. And we're going to kind of break it down into a few easy pieces. I want to say five easy pieces, like the title of an old movie. Many of you are listening are thinking, what the heck? That was a movie that was done way back in the 70s. So we thought we could make a little light of that title because we have about five little bullet points that we're going to go over. First one is understanding how reaching or understanding the promise of God works. And I'll just read you some of the notes that I wrote here. First of all, there really is great joy in seeing our faith stimulate us to take an action, which then, in fact, causes a change in our environment. Something is accomplished, and then it brings blessings. The thing that we do have to look at, however, is that God's promises of blessings do, in fact, require an action on our part. Then oftentimes endurance and patience, you know, as we overcome obstacles and challenges along the way. And so that's what we're going to look at today, some of the process of moving from the initial hearing of God's promises to its actual future fulfillment in our lives. And that's going to be what we're going to be talking about tonight, that journey that, to be very candid and open and transparent, for me has been oftentimes I'm fighting the whole way, not really focusing on the journey itself, you know, focusing on God's blessings, focusing on, you know, what is to come. And that's something we hopefully will get an understanding of how imperative it is for us to do that. Well, first, let's look at the first point that kind of came to me, which was, you know, first of all, a promise has to be given. So let's look here in the book of Joshua. We'll look in the first chapter, and we'll look at verses 2 through 6. Now, to give you some context, we're actually going to read the first verse so you can see kind of where Joshua is along in his journey with the people of Israel. Reading out of the first chapter of Joshua, let's read it now together here. Let's get make sure that we have it all correct here. Here we go. It says this here, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan River, thou and this people, and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, unto the great sea, all the land of the Hittites, and the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man. Okay, let's stop right there. Let's actually stop right there. If we're looking at this now, this great promise, these people who have been wandering literally for 40 years, just a few scant miles from where the promised land was, but because, again, of the disobedience, if you read the story of the people, because they were hard-hearted, because the people really didn't let their faith become active into an action. Remember we were talking about that earlier? The Lord allowed the people to basically have a whole generation of people die off, and then that remaining generation, a remnant, which he always leaves, now can enter into the promise. So he told me, listen, all of this land that you see, matter of fact, he said, every place that you put your foot down upon, I have given it to you. He said everything, and he gave them a great expanse. He said this wilderness of Lebanon, which had those mighty cedar trees that the Bible talks about, unto the great river, even the river Euphrates, which is one of the great rivers of the entire world. And even, he said, out into the sea itself, towards where the sun sets, all that will be your coastal land. So God has given these people that had come out of bondage. I mean, literally, they were enslaved to another nation, have come out, they have survived an entire generation dying off in the wilderness, just kind of trooping around, and now they're on the threshold of entering into their promise. So this is what God has said. This promise I've laid out here before you. And that's what he does with us sometimes. What he does is he gives us a promise, it's in the future, of something that he's going to do for us, something that's going to happen in our lives, our destiny. Now, when we first get that, oftentimes there's a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, great anticipation. Oh, boy. Because we know when God gives us a promise, it's something really beyond, as the scripture says, more than we can think or ask. So there is an initial excitement, a great anticipation of when this promise is going to happen. Well, what we have to do during that time is to understand a couple of things. First of all, we're going to get into the beginning now of the meat, the process. Okay? Here's the promise. Then God gives another guarantee in verse 5. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Man, he said, that's about as good as it gets. I mean, here God has made a promise and then said, in order for this promise to be fulfilled in your life, I'm going to stay with you thick and thin. And he said, here's my promise. One, no failure in God. I'm not going to fail you. And two, I'm not going to forsake you. In other words, I'm not going to bring you to a certain point and go, I'm going to leave you off to the wayside and leave you strangling out there by yourself. He said, I will not do it. Okay, now. Here's the interesting thing that comes next. Great promise, great guarantee from God, but yet now as we go into the sixth and seventh verse of the first chapter of Joshua, God says something kind of interesting. He says now in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Okay? Now, so, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now, hang on a second. The promise is still indicated there. He reiterates again. He said, I'm going to give you all this land, and the people are going to divide the land up. It's going to be so much, it's going to be a little bit for everybody, or plenty for everybody. But he says, before he said that, be strong and of a good courage. And he said, Mr. Simmons, why would that be? It's because sometimes the promised blessing that God had is so big that we can't grasp it. It just seems to be mind-boggling. We see there's no way I'm going to be able to do this, what I need to do to get this promise. And plus, the promise just seems to be, it's almost like it's surreal. It's like this for somebody else. You can't be giving me all of this. It's mind-boggling. And when I say that, I don't want you to fall into the trap that we have done in the Western church, especially in the last 40 years. The emphasis, that means strictly the natural, carnal, monetary, gimme, gimme, gimme things. It's not just that. It's more than that. We need to talk about health. We need to talk about family, the lineage being extended with each generation having a long life. These are huge blessings that you as an individual could impact two and three and four generations, even multiple generations after you have been dead in the grave. That seems mind-boggling that God would use you as a single person, sometimes coming up out of some horrific stuff, just all kinds of sin and degradation or being, you know, down in the dirt. You might even die. Now, you may even die. Not getting all of what apparently are the promises to you. But, see, the Lord says that the stuff that I swore to your fathers, so in other words, their fathers were in the grave. They didn't see the fulfillment of the promised land, but God made the promise that your children's children, those of your lineage, will see this promise. And sometimes that's the way it is with us. Think about it. Have you not heard of stories of people, famous people, come up and say, my mom, my grandmom, my dad, my granddad worked night and day, arduous labor, died in old age, really with not too much, quote-unquote, worldly wealth. But the deposit of wisdom, of faith, of love, translated through those generations. So the things that they did not necessarily receive, they made the path straight for their children and even their children's children, in some cases, their children's children's children. And when I think about that, I think about my own mother. My mother was never a wealthy woman financially. But interestingly enough, the grandkids used to call her G-Money. And I remember one day she kind of asked, well, why do y'all kids call me G-Money? And my daughter, being also the grandkids, explained to her, said, well, Grandma, it seems like no matter what happens, if somebody needs a little something, $10 here, I got to get gas, I need some shoes, I got to pay for some books. Mysteriously, somehow, this woman who was on a fixed income would send you out of her room or say, honey, it's going to be all right, and she'd do some digging somewhere, which we never saw. We weren't allowed to see that. And she would come with the money. She would somehow come up with this money. And so that's why the grandkids called her G-Money. Now, again, here's a woman who's not wealthy, on fixed income, lived on disability, but she's left an inheritance. What is that inheritance? Love. My daughter's a grown woman now. Now she is ministering with love the same way that my mother did, which was her grandmother, did to me, to her nieces and nephews, to her sister. See, that's what it means when the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We always think about that financially, and there is some truth to that, but that's not the only thing. The inheritance that we leave is not just monetary. It doesn't just mean, well, we got a good insurance policy and a good 401k, although those things are very critical. The inheritance, I believe, that we also leave to our children and children's children is a good name. Because the Bible says a good name, oh, watch out now, is better than silver or gold. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I never thought about that before until just now. That's the Spirit letting me know to tell you it's more than just passing on money. It's more than just passing on enough so that they can get into a house which maybe you couldn't have gotten into. Think about that. Isn't that beautiful how God does this? Even if you're poor, even if you don't have a lot of wealth, remember the Scripture says that a good name, a reputation, is worth more than silver and gold. Yeah. So there it is. So those of you who might say, hey, brother, I'm working hard. I might be moving towards the end of my life. I don't see me being able to leave some big, fat inheritance like wealthy people give for my children. Nah, but if you're living right, if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you walk out that salvation with fear and trembling, that so that your lifestyle is permeated with the love of God and you pass that love on to your children, well, in most cases, they in turn pass that on to their children and then so forth and so on, because it works in the opposite direction. I don't want to digress too far off of our lesson plan, but it works in the opposite direction as well. If you sow a bad seed, in other words, if you leave an inheritance of strife, hatred, misbehavior in the family, a lot of times that goes right through the other generations. All that evil business that you laid on them, sometimes it goes right through. So, again, having courage and faith, God wants us to have that courage because sometimes the promise is so big and, as we're about to get into right now, sometimes the obstacles loom so large that God not only has to tell us to be courageous, but be very courageous in advance. Because, see, he told them this before they set 1 foot into the promised land, before they crossed the Jordan, before they defeated any of their enemies. He said, now, only thou be strong and very courageous. He told them in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. So he's telling you in advance, we got to be tough, we got to be ready, and we have to have a courage to go into a door when we open it, it looks dark and we can't see inside. But we have to walk in anyway because God told us to walk into that law. And that gets to the second part of verse 7 and goes now to the third bullet point that the Lord has given me. In order for us to reach the promised land, we must follow God's instructions. It is critical to be obedient to God and even remain pure before Him if we are expecting to receive His blessings. Let's go back to the scripture text. Again, Joshua 1st chapter, now we're down to verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever so thou goest. And that the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but shall thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We're going to put a stop on that bullet point right there for just a moment. We are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back for more. We're going to come back for more of the Clarion Call. I wanted to say Real Talk Sports because the whole weekend I have been doing the sports show that we also broadcast on WRTS radio and TV, so my mindset was still there. But we're going to take a quick break. As you're listening to the Clarion Call, we're going to put on some music that is, I think, apropos as we talk about courage and faith. Tasha Cobbs singing from her album called Grace. The name of the song is Confidence. Stay tuned for more of the Clarion Call on WRTS radio and TV.
So much confidence in you.
And those three, we had a little technical difficulties there. We thank you for staying with us here, as we oftentimes do, as we do live from time to time. We have some technical problems, but we thank God that we are able to be back on the air. Again, you're listening to the Clarion Call on WRTS Radio and TV, and we are doing something called When Your Religion Becomes Reality. And God has given me about 5 points to kind of focus on. First one is the promise when it's giving. Lots of excitement and anticipation, as it should be. You should be excited that God has a promise for you. Two, once you give the promise, however, you got to have courage, you got to have faith, because oftentimes the promises are so big and the obstacles are so big that you have to be very courageous to advance forward into the blessing and not be afraid to move into that place, although it might look a little scary. Three, and this is where we left off before we took a break, the instruction that must be followed to reach the promised land. It is critical that we be obedient to all the promise, all the instructions that God gives us, because if we don't be obedient, we're not going to reach the promised land. Let's go back to the scripture text. Reviewing again Joshua, first chapter, starting with the 7th verse. We're going to read right through the 9th verse. He says again to the people, okay, only be thou strong and very courageous, thou may do observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the left, to the right hand, or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law, verse 8 now, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. And closing with verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Ooh, there's a mouthful there. Lots to think about. Okay, what's that all saying? Okay, what God, it's interesting now, he shifted from the promise. He shifted from the guarantees of being with the people to say, hold on, you have to obey what I told you already. See, that's the thing that in this day and time, I think we have to be very careful. You have a lot of people running around saying they have a new revelation. Technically, that's inaccurate. The only thing that you can get, and I as a believer or a teacher or any level, is all we are doing is getting a better understanding ourselves of what has already been revealed. Huh? Because, see, the revelation of Jesus Christ has already been written. It's already been done. So it's not like something God's doing, and he says he's going to do a new thing, but not a new thing in context that there's not already some prophetic edict that's already gone out in the past. It's not like God all of a sudden just out of the blue says, I'm going to do this. He told you, I am going to do new things. So therefore, he's already prophesied. He's already sent prophets to tell you God is going to work something differently. So therefore, you can't say, oh, it's new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Now, we have planes. They didn't have planes back then. We have helicopters. We can fly in the moon. God prophesied that. He tells in the New Testament that as it reaches towards the conclusion of the return of Jesus Christ, it says knowledge shall increase. I just heard a preacher talking about that yesterday. Knowledge shall increase. Man will be able to go to and fro. And we can go easily. You think about this. You think that basically 10 centuries ago, which would have put us, let's see here, right around, if you go back 10 centuries, that's right around the beginning of the year 1000, year 1100. Okay, what was man doing then? He wasn't thinking about traveling even halfway across the earth. Columbus hadn't even reached the shores yet until 1492. The Vikings were just kind of traveling about, as we see in the new TV documentary story, I should say the TV serial, The Vikings. So, but in the last 100 years, man has done a phenomenal amount of things. You think about it. He's went from the first flight on those rickety paper and wooden planes to basically man taking a spacecraft into the air and being able to land it on the ground like an airplane or like a glider. That's where we're at. to the point where they didn't even know anything about communicating to people except by pen and paper. Maybe you might use a carrier pigeon or something like that back in those days. If you had to go someplace really, really far where God lived at the coastline, you have to give it to a messenger, you have to get on a boat, travel for days. Now, we can literally take a device, something small enough to hold in our hand, a phone, speak into it and talk to anybody we want anywhere in the world. They can be thousands of miles away. Thousands. We can do it. Matter of fact, we can talk to somebody in space. We remember the famous line, Houston, we have a problem. Those guys were thousands of miles away orbiting the moon, and they were able to call back down to Houston, Texas. They said, gentlemen, we got a situation. So you can see that knowledge has increased by leaps and bounds. I just saw something today. I'm kind of a techie buff. I saw today a camera that's just been released by a company that basically is the size of a handheld camera like a, you know, Nikon or one of these other things, SLR, and this camera can shoot a movie-quality digital film. That's insane. Cameras that were costing tens of thousands of dollars that a man couldn't even pick up by himself. You have to put them on a boom, these little carts. All of that technology has been scrunched down into something a man can hold in his hand. And the price, of course, those cameras were tens of thousands of dollars. I saw that the price of this camera in its basic form without all these extra lenses was under $1,000. Crazy. The vision, the promise is big, oftentimes scary, but God says don't be afraid. Number four, preparation, preparation, preparation. Any of those of you listening to me that are sports fans, any of those of you who have went through higher education, you know all about preparation. Preparation must be made so that we are ready to go into the place of blessing. Let's go back to our text in Joshua, first chapter, where we read the ninth chapter, now going to the tenth chapter. This is what he says. I mean, tenth verse. He said, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now here's what's going to happen. Now there's an action that's going to be made. But first we've got to be prayer. This is what Joshua said. He said, then Joshua, verse 10, commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, that's food, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God hath given you to possess it. Okay, and in the plain English version, New American Standard Bible, this is what it says. It says, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you are to cross the Jordan and go in to possess, not to go and look at, possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. Got to have preparation. Okay? He said in 3 days we're going to go, so you need to prepare food for travel. We see that same concept echoed in the New Testament. Remember the story about the 10 virgins? Five wise, five not wise. The five had extra oil ready to go. The other five said, you know, who knows when the groom is coming. Then he came all of a sudden. They're scrambling. Hey, you give us some of ours. They said, no. Because if we, the smart virgin said, we give you some of ours, now neither one of us is going to have enough to go. You got to go to the market and go buy it. Cost them precious time. So that by the time they got through it all, into the lamps, and got to the place of the wedding ceremony, they were locked out. So we don't know who you are. You're late, can't get in. And that happens to us sometimes. That's why I know myself, I hate to admit it, but there's many things I believe that I have lost out on because I've been ill-prepared in terms of either being ready with what I need or being timely and being ready. Either one of them, no good. Okay? Last bullet point I believe the Lord has given me is oftentimes, now again, I know I told you earlier about, hey, you have to walk in, but sometimes God wants you to check out where you are heading for two reasons. Not necessarily to go in there and spy, I mean, to go out and say, hey, I got to see everything God's got for me before I go in. Mm-mm. Sometimes he wants us to take a peek to figure out where we're going or to let him show us where we're going, only to show us that he's already there, that he's already got the way smoothed out. Let's go to the text. Second chapter of Joshua, first chapter. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came unto a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. Now, I'm not going to get into the story of Rahab because that's not where I'm looking to go here on this. We'll go all the way down now to the last couple of verses of the second chapter of Joshua, verses 23 and 24. It says, so the two men, now they spied out, they have returned. It says, so the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them, how, you know, Rahab hit them and they escaped and so forth. But here's how they concluded. And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord has delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. I'll read that to you in the plain English version. Then the two men returned, verse 23, and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they related to him all that had happened to them. And then verse 24, the conclusion of the chapter, they said to Joshua, surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. Because what Rahab had explained to them and said, hey, man, we heard about you. We heard about how your God made the Jordan River stand up on either side, how you guys walked through on dry land, how the whole river collapsed onto the Egyptians. We heard about how you took out two of the biggest, baddest kings in our territory. No problem. We are quaking and baking, man, because we're thinking we might be next. Sometimes God wants you to take a peek into the situation so he can show you, I've already got the whole land laid out before you. All you have to do is not panic, not get shaky, and go forward and go in there. So that's my encouragement for you today. Five main points, real easy. One, when the promise is given, we need to grab it, hold of it, be excited, and be anticipating the fulfillment of it. Two, once God has promised us this blessing, we have to understand and be ready to know that we're going to have courage and we have to have faith, because sometimes the promise is so big, the blessing is so big, and then also the obstacles are so large that you have to be courageous, or else we would be so scared we wouldn't go forward. Three, the instructions that God gives us to reach the promised land or to reach our point of blessing has to be followed. It is critical that we be obedient and remain pure before God, or we're not going to be able to walk into the promised land. Remember, a whole previous generation of Israelites were slain because they murmured against God and didn't follow the instruction. Consequently, they never saw the blessing that was promised to them. Amen. Four, preparation must be made so we're ready to go into the place of blessing. And last but not least, check out where you're heading. You know, it's just like sometimes you're going to take a vacation, get a brochure, look, be excited about that. And then understand, as God gives you glimpses of where you're about to go, that he's already smoothed out the way before us. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to bring a little portion of your word tonight, oh God. We ask you to let your word find a home in the hearts of all those who listen, and that it might be able to bear fruit at the appointed time. We ask you for these blessings in my name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray, we say thank God, amen and amen. Well, again, we want to go quickly and spotlight a group who is well known, especially to African-American women in this country, and I'm talking about Jack and Jill of America. They are a group that was founded over 70 years ago, back in 1938, and I'm just going to read to you very quickly from their website what it is that they do. First of all, when you click on their website, it says, let's work, let's play, and let's live together. That is kind of their theme. So Jack and Jill, what they do is they work behind the scene to constantly try to make things better. Here's another quote they have from their website. Power and potential. Parents empowering youth through leadership development, cultural heritage, and community service. And one of the things they do is they have a pink and blue inaugural ball in Washington, D.C., where they went to, you brought several thousands, actually 1,600 children to come and celebrate the inauguration of Barack Obama. They do tons of things around the nation. They have 220 chapters in 36 states and the District of Columbia, and they represent over 30,000 family members. The core of their philosophy is that every child, if given proper guidance and opportunity can be developed into a leader. And because of that, here our local chapter, right near my home at the Lake Spivey chapter in South Metro Georgia, is having a fundraising day at Pizza Hut. It's at the Pizza Hut on in McDonough, Georgia, 1104 Highway 20 or Highway 81 West. They have converged together. That's on April 15th. That is a week from today. They will be there all day long. If you want more information, you can contact them. You can contact them and get the information. Again, it's the Lake Spivey, Georgia chapter. They will be at the McDonough Pizza Hut on 1104 Highway 2081 West. You can give them a call, 770-957-4827. The point person there is my friend and client, Ms. Tammy Storr, and she will be more than happy to give you instructions on how you can participate. What it's going to be is everything that you buy that day, a portion of that proceeds of what you spend will go to the Jack and Jill organization. Well, we have a truncated show tonight. We thank you for tuning in. We bless you, and we wish that God will really minister to you in every need that you may have. And we say, as we do each and every week, as we sign off with the music of Canton Jones, Be Healed, God bless you, and good night. All mine in the